B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
302. Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Querpoli's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party tray. Every bit is good. A little snack during the break. I went with a classic.
What'd you get?
I realized that I enjoy the classic. I think the potato chip phenomenon has gotten carried away in this country.
What?
Oh, with the flavors?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
I agree with that.
No.
I agree.
No.
They got all kinds of crazy flavors.
That's
now.
Fine. Yeah,
first of all, let me ask you this question, because our machine loads up on Doritos.
Yeah.
Doritos, overrated or not?
The plain nacho cheese Doritos, way overrated.
Cool Ranch, however.
Cool Ranch.
Ty eats a bag every day.
Oh, you do?
I don't eat every day.
Not every day.
I don't eat it.
I think
the Cool Ranch Dorito
is overrated. I think there's too much junk on the chip.
Have you ever had the sweet chili?
No. I don't go for the... I haven't had Dorito in a really long time. I got sick of the two... It was too much of an overload on the flavoring that they add to the chip.
But I thought you were talking about like the buffalo wing chips now.
No, I'm talking about that too. That's the next wave. Going into the chips. See, I got the Lay's classic. Now, whether you got hers or Lay's, there's nothing that can beat a light potato chip.
There is.
No, there isn't.
A sour cream and onion is superior to that.
No, it's not.
It is.
See, well, there's no need to junk up a chip. A chip in its pure form is just like, it's like baseball being Americana.
You know.
The light chip. And I really resent when I get a stray company and the chip is burnt.
Yeah.
I can't stay. And when you go to a restaurant and you order a sandwich or like a bar place or whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
They go, we have our own chips. We make our own chips here. And invariably, those chips are always overcooked.
Good chunk of the time they are.
They are. Yeah. So it's not satisfying. And then let me get to the McDonald's fries. Because sometimes I'll get a hankering and go to McDonald's. And get a quarter pound. They're very, very few. But I crave the light fry.
Right.
Right?
I
get the overcooked fry 3 out of 7 times. Now, how's that possible? If everything's automated, how do you get an overcooked fry at McDonald's?
Because it beeps. But you still have the person who has to bring it out.
So it's human error?
Many times.
Ignoring the beep?
Yep. Because it goes down, it gets the beep, they're supposed to go turn, then come with the salt, and then let's go. Let's get to work.
It's not automated enough that the beep would rise the fries.
Not at all locations. There's still locations where it beeps.
In this day and age,
yeah,
we can't get an automated rise of the basket of fries?
Not everywhere.
Put someone out of a job.
Right, I don't want to do that. But, I mean,
the chip has gone overboard.
They have gone too far with the chip.
I just had beet and goat cheese chips. They're plant-based.
Wait a minute.
So they're healthier for you.
I guarantee you, that chip has absolutely no flavor.
You know, I'll bring my bag in tomorrow.
I can tell you right now, it has no flavor.
It's really good.
Beet and what?
Goat cheese.
Come on, man.
It's plant-based.
That's a no-flavor chip if I ever saw one.
It's good, I promise. And it's healthier for you.
There was this, when I worked in New York, there was this brand of chip that was made, it was bean-based. So it was better for you. But they didn't have all the crazy flavors.
Listen.
And they were pretty good.
You eat chips because it's better for you. Eat chips because you want an indulgence. Like, I bought a bag of chips. It says 240 calories on it. All
for
right.
The whole bag.
Yeah.
I
suck up the 240. All right? It's not going to kill me. I'm not going to eat a bag of chips every day. I can go with 240. Like, why does it have to be healthier?
You eat just fine. But let me ask you. You talking about apple pie in baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't a little cinnamon make the apple pie just a little bit better?
Yeah,
right. What I'm trying to do is put a little cinnamon on baseball.
You're not.
Doesn't a little
cinnamon.
Vanilla ice cream? That's nice to go with the apple pie.
You're changing the crust.
I'm not changing the crust. I'm making the manager not walk to the mound. Like, that's so minor. That is just a little seasoned cinnamon so that we don't have to slow the game down as much. Just a little bit.
Another thing's overrated. Right for this. Sweet potato fries.
No.
They are grossly overrated.
Totally overrated. If you're going to get some fries, get some fries.
Right. The hand-cut fry versus sweet potato fry, which is hand-cut.
Right.
If you have the choice, you much rather have the hand-cut fry than the hand-cut sweet potato fry. They're both hand-cut.
I'll eat a sweet potato fry. I just go, what's the point of it? Well, you know?
It's better for you.
All right. Overrated. Let's go back. to the phones. Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Ian?
Yeah, the NBA is like a three-point contest. What about getting rid of the corner three? Just put the three-point line up top, because it's so hard to guard five guys. Like, Bucks shoot like 53s a game. That would be a way to limit the three-point shot.
Well, how are you going to eliminate the corner, though? I mean, like...
No, you just get rid of the three-point line on the corner. You just put it around the... You keep the three-pointer, you just put it around
You either block it off?
Yeah, exactly, because then you get the big man some room. It's just a thought, but... Hey, and also... I agree with Tyrone. I want to get to like soccer, but like the shootout is stupid, because all you have to do is in overtime just take the goalie out. It's already hard enough to score, and do it in hockey too, because it's hard enough to score. Just
so
take
you
the goalie
want an
out.
Empty net in overtime period, and it's a 5-minute overtime period. You can score as many goals as you can with the empty net.
No. It's the first goal wins
with an empty net.
Yeah, empty net. Definitely in soccer they should do that, because the shootout from a soccer team up.
You can't do that in hockey. You win a face off and you flip it down the other end, the game's over in 3 seconds.
That's not definite. hey, Michael, real quick though, the TV thing with baseball. I love baseball. One thing they have to fix though is that they got to go to the baseball umpiring technology. Put three umpires out there, put the umpire in the booth, and use the technology to call balls and strikes.
Who calls the play at the plate?
They'll just replay it down to the umpire. They'll just call it down to the microphone. They'll put a microphone on the umpire. They'll watch it on TV. And
how are you going to see the play close enough from up top at a play to play?
They'll watch it on TV.
All right.
And then another thing, like when you're watching a game, right, there'll be a line drive shot in right field. Like you think it's a hit, but you don't realize they got nine guys in right field. So they should put on a screen where these guys are playing so we know. They have a chance for a hit and stuff. So.
Well, they usually do that. They have a full screen shot on TV. NBC Sports Philadelphia has the open field. They show the shifts all the time, and they identify the player who's in the shift.
I don't see that in a lot of games.
You're looking at it. They see that. I mean, they pan the whole field. They take that behind the plate shot. It takes the whole field.
Okay, and Mike, Bohemian Rhapsody, watch the last 20 minutes. It was worth it when you watch the concert.
There's nothing to that movie. I'm going, wow, this got a lot of acclaim. Let me check it out. Yeah. Very overrated.
Well, the last 20 minutes was just the redo of Live Aid.
Uh-huh.
If you were into that,
and it was really well done.
It was well done, but it's still a movie. It wasn't like the actual performance.
Yeah. I covered Live Aid.
You did?
Yes.
Wow, that's
I was
neat.
One of the Inquirer reporters that was covering Live Aid.
Look about that.
So you saw when Teddy P came out on stage?
No, actually, my beat was I wasn't. I had to ride the subways with people and get reaction quotes.
That's great.
It was a low level.
It's still
contributing
a
reporter situation.
It's still cool, but after you had me watch that Teddy P documentary, that was one of the moments that really jumped out to me when I watched the movie.
Yes. So I would call in, like ride the subway here, ride the subway there, and then talk to people, and whoever had an interesting quote, I'd call it in to the rewrite man.
Ah, I got you. You're starting out?
Well, and they were doing the whole story, the big story on Live Aid, so, so-and-so from Fishtown was riding the subway at 2 a.m. and said, blah, 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 you know, that kind of.
Did you get anybody to comment on Teddy Pendergrass at least?
I don't remember.
No, I didn't expect you to.
Us with a buddy of mine, we called it off at about, he was a reporter too. We called it off at about 3 a.m. and went to Atlantic City.
Oh, nice.
It's our blackjack. Into the wee hours.
There you go.
Thomas and Broomall. Oh, here he is. The famous Thomas. TV Thomas.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? So tell me about the experience. Interviewed on TV. You cursed Aaron Nola's no-hitter. What do you have to say for yourself, young man?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not super... I mean, I'm a baseball fan, but I'm not really all that superstitious when it comes to that stuff. I'm thankful that, you know, I think it was Tom McCarthy. He said, you know, you can't blame me, but I feel bad. But I was hoping to be the person who said it and actually have it happen, and I'd look like a genius.
But how did you hook up with Greg Murphy? How did he find you to interview you, and why would he interview you?
Well, I saw him, actually, I saw him like maybe 20 minutes before the interview, and I saw him, you know, doing, talking, to the, you know, making a talk or whatever. But, and I saw him, told him I brought my sign, you know, wanted to get an interview, and asked him, you know, who, you know, brings it up. Is it, you know, the producer's take on who makes, you know, the interview or whatever. But I was able to get on TV. I liked that, City Field's not, it is a, you know, pretty good ballpark. Spent $12 on an ice cream, though.
Wow. So you brought the sign. You caught his eye right away with the sign.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get your take, like the home runs in baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's, you know, too many home runs. I mean, would you say a lot of the players get offered more money by the offensive numbers they have? You know, the more home runs they hit.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's not... You know, there's not too many home runs. I'd rather have offense than defense. Pitching duels, I don't know.
Listen, last night hitting a home run was easy. It's not usually that easy when you're facing 95. You know, you still have to connect the home run. It's a pretty significant achievement when you hit a home run. So I don't understand these people who get too many home runs. Well, just give credit to the guy who hit it.
Yeah, and I don't think there needs to be any changes in baseball either. You know, I know they tweaked... with the, you know, mound visits and everything, but I think it should just stay the same. It's been here.
I agree with you, Thomas.
So long.
You're a baseball purist. There are too many renegades out there that want to change Americana.
Yeah, I just want to let you know. So I'm going to that fan fest. I upgraded to the hospitality ticket, so I got my way in the VIP section.
Oh, there you go, Thomas.
So I'll see you in person.
All right, buddy. Thomas and Broomall in the VIP section.
Yeah, you know.
You know, entirely when you hit a home run, as all the analysts say, you must barrel it up. It's another one of the sayings that you hear a lot.
Yeah,
you
there was a
barreled it up.
There was a lot of that.
Yes. A lot of that yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Barreled it up.
There was a lot of that yesterday. It was fun. What would be your approach, hypothetically, in a home run derby? Would you be a pool guy, or would you have been more of a... Because there were some pool guys, a lot of them, but then there were some all-field guys, too. Would you have been a dead pool guy in the, if you were like Vlad was?
Yeah, I mean, that's your power. And BP, that's your power side. Like, Jock Peterson had a shorter right field porch to hit it at him. He's a pool hitter anyway. But yeah... There's no reason to mess around with trying to drive it to center field. Now, Alonso did. Because
that's what I mean. He was going all over the place,
but he was late on a couple, and he's so strong that he carries it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what you want to do. You just want to crack. Even line drives, you hit them hard enough, they're going to go.
They're going to go out. No, that was what was kind of cool when they showed the spray chart, and Vlad's was all within, like, you know, 30 feet of each other, it seemed like, and Alonso's were all over the place. And Jock was also pulling over.
Yeah, he missed the golden opportunity to beat Vlad.
Yeah, because the last one, Vlad hit had hit only two, and then he ended up...
He hit a couple foul. He was too early on one of them.
Yeah.
Two spots, he could have won that. Brendan in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brendan.
Yo, go on, Mike.
What's up, Brendan?
Big Ben.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm kind of a critique in basketball. I heard Jamal talk about this, too. Like, sometimes when there's, like, a loose ball or, like, an air ball, they'll call, like the expired shot clock possession, like, 24 seconds. But sometimes, like, it hurts, like, you know, the team, like, receives the ball, like, from going on a fast break.
Yeah, they don't always stop play, by the way. They don't always stop play. When the clock runs out, if they determine the other team has possession and is starting a break, they won't stop play.
Yeah, no, I agree. Most times you're right. But, like, I just know a couple times specifically. Like, I remember one game, Zoom off was like, see, like, I hate that because it was, like, an air ball and we caught it. And then, like, they had to stop and inbound it. But the other thing I had, this is more of, like, a presentation one. I think this should kind of be a way, like, when we watch baseball games, to, like, not have the K's in. Because, like, sometimes it's, like, not even accurate, I feel like.
On TV, when we're watching a game on NBC Sports Philly, you don't like the K zone? I like it a lot, actually.
I think you should have the option.
You know, it's for some reason, umpires will see it differently. So it's not like 100% accurate as far as the strike goes. There's a lot of balls that will hit the K zone and an umpire will call it a ball. But I like it. Yeah, I think it gives you a really good guideline.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a guideline. I agree with that. But sometimes it just feels like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, umpires kind of have their own. They'll call it high or they'll call it low. But, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to get
you know, it's an interesting point. I wonder how many, if they've taken a survey. Maybe Booty can shed some light on this, whether they have any kind of survey, a market survey on whether most viewers like the K-Zone that they put in there. We'll get that. All right. In the meantime, I promised to go over these starting lineups, and Keith Pape is coming on at 3:30, so I want to do it before Keith comes on. Let's look at the contenders, first of all, in the East. You already know what the Sixers starting lineup is. It's Embiid, it's Ben, it's Tobias, it's Horford, and it's Richardson. So the Bucks now are the slight favorite in the East. Here's their starting lineup. Bledsoe, Wes Matthews. That's their backcourt, huh? Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez. Sixers have a better starting lineup?
Yes. And Bledsoe's dreadful, too. Now, they did do some things last season where they went double point guard.
Uh-huh.
And they did re-sign him, but that was not their base starting lineup, according to their people, is that.
All right, Raptors starting five now. That Kawhi, Kyle Lowry, OG Anunoby, Stanley Johnson, who stinks, Pascal Siakam, and Marc Gasol. Sixers win that too.
Yes, but I do think Siakam is going to go from most improved player to
a star.
I think he's going to be a star caliber player. I do.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. But still, you're looking at an older Lowry and Pascal Siakam carrying that team. With an ancient Marc Gasol, Stanley Johnson has never been effective. OG Anunoby's not a bad player. He's an up and coming player.
And even if you swap out Gasol for Ibaka, which they'll do at times, they're still Sixers still have the advantage.
All right, Celtics. New look Celtics. Kemba and Marcus Smart in the backcourt. Jason Tatum. Hayward's going to play to four. And Enes Kanter is your center.
And Sixers better. This is what they did with those last four all in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown may at some point usurp Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
So that's better, but still not as good as the Sixers.
All right. Pacers. Victor Oladipo, Malcolm Brogdon in the backcourt. Dougie McBuckets moves into the starting lineup at the three. TJ Leaf, kind of an up-and-coming player. And Miles Turner.
Sixers.
All right. Heat. If they get Westbrook. Russell Westbrook. Dion Waiters. Jimmy Butler. James Johnson. Myers Leonard. Now they still have Justice Winslow.
No.
No?
If they got Westbrook, the trade would be Winslow.
Oh.
Bam. Those guys have to
go. Because
of the salary.
Would go on that?
Yep. To make the money work, Olenek, Bam,
well,
Dragic, Winslow.
First of all, Westbrook and Waiters. Jimmy Butler wouldn't get a shot with those two.
Nope.
What, seriously? And Myers Leonard is the starter?
They don't have, if you look at their roster,
right,
so they trade away their center.
Right, forget
they
about
got
it.
Miles Leonard
the Sixers look clearly like the way better starting five. That's before we even get to the bench. All right, let's go to the West now, because you're going to have to play one of these teams in the West. LeBron, Danny Green, LeBron playing the point. Danny Green the two. Kuzma the three. Anthony Davis the four. Boogie Cousins the five. Not a bad starting team. Depending on Danny Green, how much he can give you, and Boogie Cousins, obviously. How many minutes both of them can play.
Defensively, in the regular season, they'll struggle. They're a playoff-built team, because LeBron and Boogie aren't going to play a lick of defense through 82. They'll play some in the playoffs, but for 82, they're not going to play great. But that's
all
a
right.
good team.
The clip joint. Patrick Beverley and Shamet, your backcourt. Kawhi, Paul George. Kawhi playing the four?
Pete, they're going to be interchangeable, yeah. That's the plan.
Montrezl Harrell at the five. Small.
And then Lou Will, obviously, is your sixth man forever.
Yeah.
Off the bench there. That's a decent starting five. A lot of switching on defense and stuff. They'll play really good defense. Really good defense. You got four guys that are plus defenders.
Warriors starting five. Steph, D'Angelo Russell, Alphonso McKinney, Draymond Green, Willie Cauley-Stein. They're going to suffer.
Now, they may go three. Now, Russell admitted in his press conference he may not be there. Maybe they make mm-hmm. Maybe they move him.
Yeah.
Maybe it ends up being Wiggins after all.
They signed a lot of dudes for their bench, though.
They did.
They got two Villanova guys now.
They got those guys now. But that's their starting five based on right now. You might see Livingston sometimes instead of McKinney, but he's too old to start and play all the time.
Here's a team that a lot of people like. The Jazz, Mike Conley Jr., Donovan Mitchell, your backcourt. Bojan Bogdanovic, Jeff Green, Rudy Gobert. Not a bad starting team.
And they plan to bring Joe Ingles, who's a really good offensive player, off the bench on purpose to be on the second unit. That's a nice little squad.
As a left-handed Aussie shooter.
Yeah, to come off the bench. That's why they're starting Jeff Green, so they get some pop off the bench.
And finally, the Nuggets. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Jokic. Kind of the same squad as last year. Who did they add?
They made some trades for some backup players. And they also expect to get Porter Jr., who sat out with the back. They hope that he takes Will Barton's spot and starts the three for him. You remember he was a top 10 pick for them.
Is there any team that you can actually make a real good case the starting lineup is better than the Sixers? I mean, there are a couple that are kind of in the ballpark, but I don't think definitively. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be joined by Keith Pompey, who is covering the Las Vegas Summer League, and we'll have some views on this as well. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. Reserve your spot. There's two open lines. Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.331 Mike Missanelli Show. Sometimes you get a really tough assignment, and they fly out to Las Vegas and you stay in a beautiful hotel, and you go to a couple summer league games and see all the celebs around, and it's no pressure. Not like covering an NBA season. It's kind of a relaxed pressure, but you can sit back and analyze. And that's our next guest. He covers the 76ers from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. His name is Keith Pompey, currently covering the Las Vegas Summer League. Keith, how you doing out there?
Man, I'm struggling, Mike. It's like it's horrible out here, bro. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah, I can tell. It's a nice pace for you, and what's your feeling about Summer League? Because we're all intrigued, and obviously you're intrigued more because you're making value judgments. You have to write about it. So when you look at this Summer League team, what are you seeing so far?
You know, initially I saw some promise, but right now there's a little bit more concern than promise. There's two questions that I have. You know, do the Sixers have a guy who can be a backup point guard, and do they have a shooter? And, you know, from this group right now, you know, you have to say that they don't have a backup point guard from this group, and they don't really have a shooter from this group. But, you know, when you look at Zaire Smith and you see, like, the little improvements that he's making, he's still a raw guy. But a little bit of improvements he's making, you know, you get a little sense, a little bit, that he can be something that they can depend on rotation-wise years down the road. But right now, for guys helping the team next year, I just really don't see it from anyone from this team.
Interesting, because one of the guys we're going to talk about now happens to be one of Tyrone's faves. We're talking about Shake Milton, and the idea was that he might be able to provide that kind of backup point guard role, maybe swing a little bit, but his shooting has been woeful. But what about his floor game? What do you see in Shake?
Okay. Well, the thing is, it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, you look at Shake, and to me, he was never a point guard. He was always, you know, an undersized two. You know, a guy who, you know, who can get his shot, but he's just not real athletic, you know, for people to say he's a bona fide shooting guard. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see it right now as a, you know, as him as a point guard. Now, he can be a point guard, but I don't think that you're going to look at Shake Milton and say, you know, you're going to be the guy that's going to spell Ben Simmons for X amount of minutes a game. You know, I think that, you know, the role that he had last year, you know, he could come in and play in a rotation. But I don't know at this particular time that he's shown anything to whereas he'll be someone that you can depend on in the postseason when the games get real.
Interesting. Okay, so when you look at their bench, and we'll get to the starting lineup in a minute. I want to compare starting lineups. So we get to their bench. There's not that guy they can shoot in the game right now and make some shots.
Not from the perimeter. I mean, you know, you...
Did we lose Keith?
You know, Shake can make some shots, mm-hmm. but I just don't know. Like, you know, Shake was a little bit of Landry Shamet last year, and Landry Shamet was good, and he got better. And what I mean by that is, you know, Landry Shamet was the guy with the Sixers. You know, you would just insert him in, and he would play well. You know, he would get some shots depending on the spots he got it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when there was times when the Sixers really depended on him to play big, to start, to do things, he sort of struggled. And right now, I just think and he improved when he went to the Clippers. But I just think in Shake Milton's maturation, you know, that's where he is right now. He's not going to be the guy, you know, as much as everyone loves him, I don't think that he's going to be a guy that you can depend on, you know, right now in regards to make shots all the time.
Oof. All right. So tell me about Matisse Thybulle and what he looks like to you.
You know what? He looks like a rookie line. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You see him, and I've been impressed with him because you see it. It's like there's always like 3-4 plays a game, you know, where he comes out there and he steps in front of the ball or he has great hands and he gets deflections or he'll strip a guy and he'll go the other way. Now, in regards to his shooting, you know, he's a better shooter than we've given him credit for. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, it's going to be a solid rotation player. But, you know, I've been impressed with him. I just don't see anybody who can be a dude that you're going to spread the floor and say go to work right now.
And not even Shayok, who's been making some shots.
You know, he's good, but, you know, the thing is they made him a two-way player. You know, like, think about it. Unless they waive somebody, you know, we had that thing last year where two-way players, you know, can't be on a postseason roster. And, you know, who knows? They made him one right now. They still have a couple spots available. But, you know, so that means if they don't get who they would like to go out and get, they could bring him in. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a good guy. You know, he's been the most impressive of everyone because he's been the most consistent. You know, when he gets the ball, he makes shots. But, you know, again, this is, you know, summer league, and we'll see.
All right, who would they like to get? Korver's been mentioned, obviously, and a couple other teams are vying. Do you see him ending up here?
I could, you know, because my thing is when, you know, you're Kyle Korver, you know, at this stage, he really knows that it's not going to be about the money. You know, it's going to be about opportunity. And the reason being is most of the money that teams have already gone. And you look at Kyle Korver. You know, everybody talks about him going to L.A. That would be a great fit for him. But then you look at it, they also have Danny Green. You know, they picked up a couple other guys who can shoot the ball. And if you're looking at Kyle Korver, you know, he's 38 years old right now. He shot 39% last year. You know, you would think that he would love to come to Philadelphia, you know, a team that desperately needs a shooter. And when you look at Kyle Korver and you look at Marco Bellinelli, who they had 2 years ago, you know, I still think that Kyle Korver is a better player than him. And he could fulfill that role with no pressure, you know, coming off the bench. And I feel like this would be a perfect fit for him.
All right, I'm going to go over to the bench, guys. You tell me who dresses and who puts the sport coat on. So right now on the bench, I'm going to include Korver in this. So let's include Korver, Scott, Ennis, Bolden, Zaire, Shake, Thybulle, Neto, and O'Quinn. Of those guys, who dresses?
Wow. So
who, or who sits?
Who those guys who sit?
Yeah, yeah. Who wears the sport coat? Who wears the uniform? There'd be three guys you have to take off of that list. Or two guys.
If they get another point guard, I would have to say that it would be Shake would probably sit. I would also have to say maybe Fiber. I mean, just because he's a rookie and it is one of those things where, you know, just looking at this team is going to be, like if they could get someone mm-hmm. else, looking at how this team is like preparing, you know, for the playoffs and they're not really going to give him a lot of minutes. You know, I just see it through one of those things where, you know, he's going to be spending a lot of time in the G League. Wow. So, you know, I think that you have to play Zaire Smith. You have to, you know, figure out what you have in him. And I think that, you know, his stock is rising, so to speak. So, in their eyes. So it's one of those things where I can't see, you know, the other two not getting, you know, I mean, the other two beating other guys out. And when you look at Jonah Bolden, you know, he can play a couple positions, to whereas I don't see them, you know, basically, you know, making him inactive. Mm-hmm.
All right, last question. We're talking to Keith Pompey live from Las Vegas, covering the Sixers for the Inquirer. I just went over the starting fives of all the East and West contenders. Where do you rank the Sixers starting five in the East and then in total NBA?
Man, I don't really have it all in front of me, but I would have to say that they have to be maybe top three, top four in the East. And
They're not number one in the East. I'll give you the Bucks. Bledsoe, Matthews, Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Raptors, okay. Lowry, Ananobi, Stanley Johnson, Siakam, Gasol, Pacers, okay. Oladipo, Brogdon, McDermott, TJ Leaf, Miles Turner, and the Celtics with Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Enes Kanter.
I would have to say they're either number one or number two when you come down to that.
Okay.
You know, I would say that. Now, but here's the question for me. Like, a lot of that stuff is great on paper.
Yes.
But I have to see what Ben Simmons is going to do.
Yeah,
like, Simmons hasn't improved his shot, and he has to go back to playing power forward in clutch situations.
Mm-hmm.
Who's bringing the ball up and who's running the offense in that group? And then what are you going to do when you have Al Horford, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid all being basically post players? So, to me, when I said top three initially, it was because of that. Yeah. I don't know what Ben Simmons is going to do.
I got you. Look into your crystal ball. Does he come back with a medium range shot that he's willing to take or not?
Man, I said yeah last year and I was burnt. I just knew it. But you know, I think that I'm hopeful that, you know, after last year he learned his lesson. I'm hopeful. So I'm going to say, yeah, he did. And I don't know if it's always going to fall and drop.
Uh-huh.
But I'm assuming that he's going to at least attempt it.
All right. I say no. So we'll see what happens. Keith, enjoy the rest of your time. They play tomorrow against the Pistons?
Yeah. They play against the Pistons. And please pray for me, man, because I'm so bored.
Yeah. go see Beyonce or something. She's got to be playing on some marquee, right? Sinbad's got to be in town, right?
Yeah.
George Wallace, you know, somebody.
Somebody, please save the brother.
All right. Thanks, Keith.
All right, man.
I appreciate the call. You got it. It won't be Tracy Morgan because he's doing the ESPYs.
Yes, indeed.
Tracy Morgan, funny or not?
I used to think he was really funny.
Uh-huh. Overall, he's funny.
Overall, he's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually think he's funny.
He has
too.
His moments.
A lot of people don't.
I loved him on SNL.
I did too.
Yeah, he was great on SNL.
In the early days.
Yeah.
He was really good on Martin as Hustle Man.
He used to do the bird guy.
Brian Fallows.
Brian Fallows. Wow. He was great.
I'm Brian Fallows. Didn't know anything about animals. Just walking around with a funny walk.
610-632-0975. Two lines are open. You can climb in. I got to tell you the rest of my court story coming up.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear how this played out.
I went to the conclusion. What's the conclusion?
Yeah.
Am I a happy man or a sad man, Nat? We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 3:49, the Mike Mussinelli Show. Do we get the trivia? I mean, excuse me, the Twitter poll. We get an update now?
Oh, sure. Let's do it.
Should we get an update?
Sure can. I'm ready.
We were supposed to do it 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Now, a Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Son. So, hit it, Nat.
All right. It has over 1,100 votes, Mike. Are there too many home runs in baseball? 34% say yes. 66% say no.
All right. It was terrible. It was terrible last night and all those home runs. It was so unentertaining seeing guys smash balls 450 feet. I hated it.
I feel like people who don't like home runs also don't like puppy dogs and candy, rainbow.
I don't know if we can continue with the rest of the show because I think our producer's in shock.
What?
Yeah. I think Tyrone took a major hit with our last interview because the man who covers the Sixers banished his boy Shake Milton to a sport coat. You heard it. You weren't happy about it. And also Thibault. He says gets the sport coat. Another one of your guys.
Yeah, I'm okay with Thibault at first. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of competition on the wings, and you know what you're going to get from Ennis. That one doesn't bother me as much, and you know what you're getting from Richardson. And if they get Korver, in your scenario, they got Korver. So in that scenario, it's better for him to get in the G League to play.
Who are you talking about, Shake or Thibault?
Thibault.
Okay, well, what about Shake?
That one shook me.
Yeah, I can see your reaction.
He's played poorly. I can't pretend that he's played well. And I thought it was him trying to do too much and pressing because he got that contract, and we've seen that with young guys before.
Yeah.
But, and I still think that in training camp, when he's around better players, because these games get really schizophrenic, these summer league games, that maybe he'll do better. But I can't rule it out because he's played poorly ever since I've bestowed him the number one spot. He's really let me down. He's struggled. I can't pretend, but it hurts me the most. But okay. I don't think the Sixers are going to make this decision based solely on the summer league. I think camp's going to play a role too, and I think that he can play his way.
I'm suddenly reminded of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh boy.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Ooh ah. Another one.
Sounds just like Freddie.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Ty, you're getting it. Yeah, the heat is just coming down on
it's
your
coming
heart.
Down on me, man.
Club Tyrone is just not successful whatsoever.
Zaire Smith.
Now, I mean, what are you serving over there? The high-end liquor is going to have to be taken out, in Goodfellas.
See, that's the problem.
You're going Smirnoff's when you're putting vodka in a drink.
That's what I've been doing. What I've been doing is I've been getting the cheap stuff and putting it in the expensive bottles. And I think it's affecting the guys. I got to cheap it out.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's Grey Goose in that bottle. It never is.
Better watch out that Alan I doesn't come,
check them.
Boarding it up.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tony in West Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
What's up, Mikey Miss? Good afternoon to the staff.
How are you, Tony?
I'm great. Listen, two quick comments. I had to change the order of my statement because of your last interview, which was really good, by the way. Let me tell you something, man. I'm the one, and I mean this as humbly as I can, that predicted Zaire Smith should come here last year. I called the show numerous times. Everybody said, Tony, no. Yes, Zaire Smith. And he's going to grow and mature. But what I see right now is what the gentleman just said. You never slap a gift horse in the mouth. Kyle Korver is going to land here with the Sixers. You got to take him. And believe me, and I know you said he'd been bounced around. Trey Burke is a gift horse waiting for the Sixers to take him. If I had to get rid of Ennis and the other boy, Scott, I don't care. I never liked him anyway.
Well, they signed both of them the contracts. They're not getting rid of them.
But listen,
this affection you have for Trey Burke is astounding.
Trey Burke has not been on the right team. Trey Burke is a solid floor general, and he can shoot. Trey Burke is the guard that the Sixers need. Believe me when I tell you. I hope they get him.
Yeah.
He's going to be the floor general. I know, Mike. I know.
I'm not feeling Trey Burke, and they're obviously not, because they've had plenty of chances to sign him.
Okay. And then the one tweak I would change, which irks me, is the NBA Finals, I believe, should be played on a neutral floor. You yourself said you want to see the game better. You like it to be more competitive. I hate that home court advantage. I hate that.
What? And that's why. That's the essence of the playoffs, home court advantage.
No, it's not. And I would have a coin flip. I would start with the two worst teams in the league. And every year, a whole city would have that championship.
Your fans aren't going to travel to an NBA final if it's at a neutral site. Home court advantage is what keeps the playoffs so exciting.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I would rather see a player shoot on a neutral floor that he doesn't know, like his home floor. That would make it more competitive.
No, that's silly. These are foolish ideas. Come on.
The Raptors earned that game seven, and they got that four bouncer at home because of the work they earned during the regular season by having the best record in the East. They earned that. Mm-hmm. They deserve second best behind.
It's a really long season that you earn certain perks. I mean, the only perk you earn is a home court advantage.
That game.
One game. One extra game. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. The Sixers got their three. They each won on each other's home floors during the series.
Right.
Game seven was the decider. Sixers couldn't do it. Raptors earned that game seven at home, and they deserved the win.
So by his rationale, if you're a higher seeded NCAA tournament team, and when you get to the Final Four, it should be on your floor? If you're the highest seeded team? Doesn't make it. Come on. No, the neutral floor is good for college, not for pro. Pro, it brings the look at Jurassic Park last year. Look at the Wells Fargo Center when the Sixers, it was live. There's nothing more exciting than that. All right, 610-620-975. If you have tweaks to sports, anything but baseball, I'm going to shut you down. Baseball, I won't listen to it. I'm going to go, so-and-so is talking, but I'm not listening. Remember that movie? Michael Keaton was in that with Henry Winkler.
No.
Yeah, where he was the hearse driver, Michael Keaton.
No.
You don't remember that movie?
No.
What was it called? I don't know. It was one of Michael Keaton's early movies. We're back after this. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.